home on my own.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that works
sometimes.
They can't
see you collapsing.
They can't see your knees. And that awful small talk at the beginning. Oh, and then you try and pick your bags up at the end. Ugh. And there's this silence as you do it.
And yeah. And then
no one knows what to say.
No, I hate them. And in fact, I did one for Catastrophe not that long ago. And I was useless.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, it never even got as far as your eyes, which I'm pleased to say.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, it was awful. I was red-faced and nervy. Ugh.
What was the part?
Gay bald man.
Was it?
Yeah, gay bald man in an estate agent's.
Oh. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I was a shoo-in for that, I would have thought.
How rubbish was I at your audition for... Well, I mustn't have been too rubbish because you gave
me the
part.
Well, this is the pilot show. You know what? Clearly not rubbish. You got the part.
Oh, maybe you just didn't intimidate me.
No, I've never really sort of gone in for that kind of thing.
The Comedy Club on BBC Radio 4 Extra every night from 10. And catch up with all our interviews on the BBC Radio 4 Extra website.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, I'm Jim Lee. It's 9 o'clock and we've one more hour of comedy to come. The Comfy Sofa beckons in Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue in half an hour. David Sedaris reads more from his extensive collection of comedy essays in front of a live audience in Meet David Sedaris at 5:30. And Are You Free later? Frank Thornton, Captain Peacock from Are You Being Served, discusses his love of wildlife and the countryside in Sounds Natural at 6:30. First, though, who's going to get dead ringered today?
Dead ringers!
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sarah Montague.
Coming up later this hour, we've today's puzzle. Can any of our listeners help Diane to work out Labour's Brexit policy?
If a man called Jeremy sits on a seesaw and lots of Labour members sit on the other end of the seesaw, how many of them does it take to change the mind of a socialist who hasn't bought a new jacket in 30 years?
Theresa May has admitted on hearing the election result, she shed a tear. Conclusive proof that robots have developed the power of emotion.
A giant iceberg has split from the Antarctic. The Antarctic's Facebook page immediately filled up with concerned friends posting, "You okay, hun?"
Channel 4 promised that the Great British Bake Off would be modern and future-facing. Which sounds as appealing as your nan texting you to ask you what dogging is.
But the big news of the week was from America, where Donald Trump Jr. had a secret meeting with a mysterious Russian lady, much like James Bond, but with an IQ of 007. Donald Trump Jr. tweeting an email incriminating himself stunned Washington. Hillary Clinton was quick to respond.
The Trumps are actually going to be brought down by emails. They're going to prison because of emails. There is a God.
On the line from Washington to defend the White House is Kellyanne Conway, Barbie's evil twin.
I have just spoken with the president, and he confirmed to me that he has never met a Donald Trump Jr.
He's never met his son.
That's right. The Donald Trump Tower, the Donald Trump Casino, the Donald Trump Potty Trainer, the Donald Trump Jr. The president puts his name on a lot of stupid things he has zero interest in. This is all fake news.
We can now speak exclusively to someone who also claims that Donald Trump Jr. approached him last year. He's asked us to simply call him Alexander.
Donald Jr., he's come to me and say, give us inside info on Hillary. I tell him, I'm not Russian, you idiot. I'm just Harry Puppet who was never off the telly. Just like your father. Donald Jr., Donald Sr., compare the morons. Simples.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. laughing at the back. Please. Like the whole country, I was glued to Andy Murray's quarter-final five-setter. And I just want to say, Andy, congratulations on your terrific victory. Obviously, it wasn't everything you'd expected. I know the feeling, and there will be those people who say that, in fact, you lost. But for me, this was a victory which means you should stay on as Wimbledon champion forever and ever for the good of tennis.
Hello, and welcome to Newsnight. With me, a grown-up Charlie Brown crushed by the harsh realities of life. Tonight, I'm joined by Conservative MP Anne-Marie Morris, who came under fire this week for using a racially insensitive expression in public.
Look, Evan, I know that I could have chosen my words more carefully, but the phrase was merely an old-fashioned idiom that simply slipped out. Really, this whole media storm is nothing but a Turk in a toffee shop.
I'm sorry, a what in a what?
Oh, come on, that's offensive too now, is it? This is just PC gone mad. Stop being such a Chinaman up a chimney.
Miss Morris, I don't think these phrases are even real, let alone acceptable.
Evan, this is nothing but a puff in a disco. There's a big Spaniard on the roof here. And if we don't get to the crux of the issue, we'll end up with a midget on a tightrope. Boris, what are you doing here?
I was just next door at Woman's Hour.
Doing an interview?
Well, yes, if you like. At the Conservative Party, we simply cannot abide by this sort of abhorrent language. So I ran over here before this whole situation turned into a complete lesbian pickaninny Arab goose-stepping through a gay wedding. As the old saying goes, but...
Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry, that kind of language is career suicide.
Well, yes. Unless you are a public school buffoon like me, then you get to be a foreign secretary. Ah! Hello there, welcome to The One Show. I am so excitable that if you pretend to throw a stick at the screen, I'll definitely run after it.
British player in action at Wimbledon right now, this edition of The One Show has been moved to BBC Two, which means there's absolutely no one watching us.
So we can finally drop our ridiculous One Show personas.
Oh, what a relief, eh, Matt?
Absolutely, Alex. I can at last admit that I hate nature. I only pretend to like it so I can present Country File, and every night when I get home, I strangle a plant.
My bland, cheerful exterior, I am actually a deeply committed Satanist. Hail Satan! All hail the Dark Lord of Pandemonium, for he is master of our wretched souls.
It's lovely stuff.
Now, we've sent Giles Brandreth to King's Lynn to see a display of traditional turnip polishing. Giles, how are you getting on?
Well, Alex, this must be one of the most charming and splendid events I've ever had the privilege of attending. It sums up all that is best about the British.
You can drop it, Giles. We're on BBC Two, no one's watching.
Oh, well, in that case, what a load of shite. These people are imbeciles and their pathetic backward rituals have left me with a deep loathing for my fellow man.
Thanks, Giles. Now, I'm hearing that the tennis is finished, so we'll be switching back to BBC One any second now.
Just time, then, for me to say it, foreskin for no reason in time for my next link. Now on The One Show, Britain's oldest brush, Phil Tufnell, has that report.
Hello, this is Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm at a tear-shedding workshop. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, PM. It's David Davis, your Brexit bulldog here. Still wowing Johnny Foreigner with my masterly negotiating skills. Well, the negotiations are going great. I got two biscuits with my coffee today. Who said that locking yourself in the toilets and crying never works? Anyways, bit of a faff at the hotel earlier. Problem with Pedro, the concierge. Pedro's not his name, but I find most foreigners respond to it if you call them it often enough. So I told him to get me a hire car so I could drive around the city and shout at pedestrians in broken English. Anyways, I get to the front desk and he's only got me a Citroen. I don't want your foreign Euro junk. Pedro, I splutter. Get me a proper British BMW pronto. And make it snappy. And stick a free Toblerone in the glove compartment. Well, he could see I meant business. Went away grumbling with his tail between his legs. No one messes with that Brexit bulldog. Anyway, long story short, I'm in the car. I can't go under 50 miles an hour or the bomb under the car will explode. Whoops! I've just crashed through a sign saying road closed, bridge down ahead. But you know me, PM. Always looking on the bright side. The Toblerone's delicious. Bulldog out!
Hello and welcome to Desert Island Discs. It's where politicians come to show their more human side, away from the office. My castaway this week is no exception. Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, John McDonnell. Welcome.
Thanks, Kirsty. It's nice to be able to show my fun, relaxed side and call on the listeners to rise up in a murderous coup against the ruling elite. Cool it, Johnny. Cool it, Johnny boy. Don't get all het up again.
OK, I'm going to smooth over this awkward moment with one of my slow, sexy laughs. Tell me about your first record.
Well, Kirsty, when away from politics, I love to dance and let my hair down, so it's got to be the Red Army Choir with String Up the Traitors as High as the Morning Star.
I'm afraid we can't play anything that incites mass violence. Same reason you can't choose songs by Michael Bublé. How about your second disc?
Here's The People's Army of China with Enemies Everywhere, That's Why Granny Had to Be Purged.
Have you got anything that's not violently communist?
Yes, hang on, what about this? Dolly Parton, 9 to 5.
Oh, 9 to 5, great, that's a fun song.
No, it's not. It's a tragic account of a woman crushed by the capitalist patriarchy. No! No, John! John, don't go into the lyrics. 9 to 5. Oh, what a way to make a living. Barely gets you by. It's all taking and no giving. Oh, no, John, you're messing it up again. Now, Kirsty, I'll never give you an island.
You do know there's no actual island, don't you?
What? But I was going to create a tropical socialist utopia. There was going to be mass aerobics every morning and the Lilos would be collectivised.
All right, let's wrap this up. What luxury item would you take?
Luxury item? How dare you? All property is theft, Kirsty. That's it. I'm leaving.
You're storming out in protest.
No, I've been booked on Sunday brunch. Fingers crossed it goes better than this.
This is an urgent appeal on behalf of some of the most needy people living right here in the UK, like this woman, Teresa, who is so desperate she's had to resort to begging.
Please, can anyone spare an idea?
She'll beg from anyone.
Every morning she knocks at my door in Islington. Sometimes out of pity, I chuck her something half-baked. But I shouldn't, because she'll only go and waste it on the DUP.
Is she beyond help? Yes, obviously. But you could still ease her misery by giving whatever you can.
It doesn't even have to be a good idea. I'll take anything. Something you half remembered when you were on the bus. Or that thing your granddad said at Easter, which immediately made everyone uncomfortable.
Give just 2 ideas a month and you'll receive a harrowing, personalised letter of thanks from these helpless victims, as well as a Michael Fabricant plush toy. Please spare a thought. They literally have none of their own.
Hello and welcome to You and Yours. Never mind, the next job interview will probably go better. This week we're talking about your trials and tribulations with purchase guarantees. Joining me to help answer your questions is Hilary Mantel.
Yes, I'm allowed to be everywhere on Radio 4 now. I'm prestigious.
OK, our first query comes from a Mr. Stone from Lewisham.
Yeah, I bought this washing machine. I had it for 3 months and then it started to leak. That can't be right, can it?
Hilary Mantel, what's your take on this?
You bought this washing machine in the past, you say?
yeah.
Then perhaps the question you should be asking is, was it a washing machine?
No, yeah, it's a washing machine.
Or was it? You say you bought a washing machine in the past, but who can say anything with any great certitude? It could just be a toaster, or a fidget spinner, or a funny hat perched atop Thomas Cromwell.
It's a bloody washing machine.
If the washing machine is bloody, then the symbol points to something more visceral. Murder.
Right, I'm going.
Well, I don't think we helped Mr. Stone much there.
Or did we? Perhaps we just romanticised Mr. Stone into being, when in fact we've not been talking to anyone but the mirror into which we have poured ourselves. Perhaps I have been left all alone, locked in a studio by an angry consumer champion. But is that really the case? The princes in the tower tells us the legend is as important as the reality. I'm hungry. Or am I?
You're through to the Downing Street policy suggestion line. Please leave your idea after the tone.
Teresa. It's Arlene here. Your friend and overlord. I'm a bit confused as to why you're asking the world and his wife for ideas when I've given you loads already and not heard a peep about them in Parliament. So let me jog your memory. A ban on all civil partnerships between gay dinosaurs. Replace the phrase climate change with God's fiery plan. And withhold the BBC's licence fee until they replace all that Saturday night cavorting with my show, Strictly Come Religiously Insensitive Marching. Now crack on!
This is the 10 o'clock news, the headlines. An iceberg four times the size of London has broken off from the Antarctic ice shelf. Hang on, let me just read that again. Four times the size of London, WTF. Whatever happened to the size of Wales? All disasters are the size of Wales or fractions of the size of Wales. Why not say an iceberg a quarter of the size of Wales? We are a quiet people, a humble people, a noble people. The land of Dylan Thomas, Keris Matthews and Ruth Madoc. Do you think we don't have feelings? Do you think we happily stayed most of our formative years in the middle of nowhere for nothing? We stayed and we sang in choirs and we watched rugby, not because we liked it, but because once or twice a year our hearts would swell with pride at the words, an asteroid the size of Wales is heading towards the Earth. An area of rainforest the size of Wales is disappearing every week. It's moments like those, not the valleys or the hills, that get us going. We live for it. We breathe for it. Don't take it away from us. Continuing that story, concerns are, should the iceberg hit a landmass, it could lay waste to an area the size of Wales. Thank God. Thank you, God. And now the news where you are.
Leave a message after the beep.
Brexit Bulldog here. Don't worry, I've escaped from the burning car. Don't remember how I did it, but I must have done. Just another day of triumph for the master negotiator. Anyway, I'm not sure how, but I got back to EU headquarters. There was this sort of ethereal music and blokes with wings playing harps, sitting on clouds, and I don't know, PM, the waste I can see in Brussels. It's high time we got shot at a lot of them. Anyway, turns out I had to negotiate with a new bloke called Saint Peter. Swarthy, had a book in his hand. He promised me everlasting life and eternal happiness if I repent my sins. Well, I was having none of it. Eternal happiness, Pedro? I'm British. We don't know the meaning of the word. I'm not repenting my sins. It's that cringing, rule-obeying attitude like that that got us straight bananas and fire regulations. Anyway, long story short, I've ended up somewhere really hot. This bloke who looks a lot like Michael Gove with horns keeps poking me with a pitchfork, and I'm being forced to watch the last 10 years of Latvia's Eurovision entry for all eternity. Ow! Brexit bulldog out.
Welcome to Newsnight with me, Kirsty Warwick. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane, but I've got a blank space, baby, and I'll write your name. More on that story later. Theresa May has called on the Labour Party to contribute ideas to her government, so will they take her up on that offer? Jeremy Corbyn joins me now.
Good evening, Kirsty!
Mr. Corbyn, you're in a TV studio. You don't need the megaphone.
I know that, Kirsty, but I am going to use it anyway.
Why?
Because I have realised that when I'm addressing the Durham Miners' Gala or wowing the crowds at Glastonbury, I am a dynamic and compelling speaker, whereas when I'm talking to just one person, I can be somewhat dull. The sort of fellow who corners you at a party and talks to you about gravel.
Yes. Yes, that's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back.
There are, in fact, two Jeremys.
The fiery Jeremy, who can inspire an entire generation!
And the dreary Jeremy, who can spiralise an entire marrow.
There's Jeremy Corbyn!
And Jeremy Corbyn.
And you decided to be the fiery Jeremy from now on.
Absolutely right, Kirsty.
But don't you have a duty to engage with, say, the media?
In that case, Kirsty, perhaps you and I should have a nice long chat
about the particularly coarse type of gravel that you cannot find.
Jeremy Corbyn, thank you.
Thank you, Kirsty.
And welcome to Love Island, the show that's a mix between Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the smutty leaflets you found in phone boxes in the 1980s. This week, Caroline has some news for the contestants.
Big news, guys. You will get £50,000 cash if you're able to survive 5 minutes with our new contestants. Oh, no, we've had some people who like to stir things up in the past, but this one is the biggest backstabber we've ever had.
Hello, hello, hello. Gooby, 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 we're here. Now, Caroline, it is so good to see you, my darling. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Get ready for Gove Island, people. Now, Cam and Jamie, I am not being a snake, but you two are my absolute faves. Don't tell the others.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, that's really nice.
Although, I hate to be the one to tell you this, and trust me, I'm not bantering you, but I heard Jamie talking earlier, and he said you were actually a melt, and I was like, she is not a melt. And he was like, oh, yeah, she's a proper tuna melt, mate. And I was like, who do you fancy instead? And she was like, Gabby. And I was like, Gabby, she's like the Theresa May of Love Island.
Jamie, what's he talking about?
Nothing. I never said that. I love you.
Oh, yeah, Jamie, about that. Promise I'm not being a muggy Michael right now, but actually, I think Cam is catching feelings from someone else.
What? Who?
Me. Like, I was with her before, and she was like, oh, Michael, let's crack on. I love your weird jug ears, your floppy lips, and your wiry hairs coming out of your navel. And I was like, Cam, don't be pieing me off right now. But she was like, I'm not pranging. Let's make this official by getting our initials shaved on our pubes.
OK, that's enough. I'd like to get off the island, please.
Yeah, me too. This has been the most harrowing 5 minutes of my life, and I've lived through Chris's rapping.
Come on! The party's just getting started. Don't you wish your parliamentary representative was hot like me?
You're watching Sky One. Now, here's a series of Ross Kemp's Extreme World.
Cooey, it's me, a space hopper in a flak jacket. Today, we're exploring a dangerous phenomenon, this radical online preacher luring our nation's youth into extremism.
Felicitations to I, Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yes, this is the disturbing trend of young people following Jacob Rees-Mogg on Instagram. The radical preacher sneaks his extremist ideology into seemingly charming videos.
Oh, gosh, I'm so full up on Elevenses and Bollinger that I've forgotten how to tie a double Windsor. And I've got celeriac consommé all down my cummerbund. Whoopsie-daisy, silly old Rees-Mogg, eat the poor.
I tracked down this monster at a training camp in northeast Somerset, a breeding ground for the so-called aristocratic state.
Listen, Kemp, the way to get the whippersnappers on side was in front of us all along. All we needed was a video of yours truly gaily riding a penny farthing to the cobblers on St. Swithin's Day. And before you know it, they've started a petition to cut corporation tax. Hashtag moglife.
Terrifying. I got out of there before I started getting a craving for quince jelly and slashing disability benefits. Cheery bye.
Oh, God. Spicer.
Sean, it's Donald. I got a problem. So many problems. No president has achieved so many problems in so short a time.
What do you need, sir? It's 3 a.m.
Sean, somebody has stolen my identity.
Are you sure, Mr. President?
This guy, this nasty guy, calling himself Donald Trump, just like me, except he's put a J.R. after his name. Remember J.R. from the 80s? He was really bad, terrible guy, really, really bad. He was the evil billionaire that everybody hated.
You mean J.R. from Dallas?
No, the other evil billionaire, the one who did the cameo in Home Alone 3.
That was you, sir.
JR was me? I'm haunting myself. I'm a man who is being haunted by myself. Stop me from haunting my dream.
You haunt everyone's dreams, sir.
I'm scared, Sean. What if I have a nightmare that I can't wake up from?
Then you'll be just like the rest of us, sir.
In a world that's calling out for a hero, one man steps forward.
Did someone say 74-year-old former deputy leader of the Liberal Democrats?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Vince Cable stars in Vince Cable Returns.
Well, I never really went away, but I feel now is the time to strike while the iron is somewhat lukewarm.
Cable was dismissed as a washed-up politician with no new ideas. But when he was bitten by a radioactive piece of wholemeal rye vita, he became...
Oh, pretty much the same, really. But I am trying to be marginally more charismatic. I've even got a new catchphrase. Hey, ladies, how do you like these apples?
Vince is back with revolutionary new ideas.
You know that Brexit vote that made us all hate each other? How about we have another one?
But before Cable can be leader, he must defeat his mighty foe. Who is your opponent in the leadership race?
Nobody.
He must defeat nobody. Literally no one else wants to be leader.
I'm here to save the day. You can call me Captain Invince Cable.
No, you're all right.
Well, fair enough. Now, who wants a long chat about my new proposal of keeping rates of capital gains tax approximately the same?
Vince Cable Returns, in cinemas now, or at least until Jo Swinson changes her mind and says, go on then, I'll have a go.
Please leave a message.
Hello, PM. If you remember, I'm in hell. But don't worry, I'm the master negotiator, remember? I took Lucifer to one side, and I offered him the souls of the entire cabinet if he'd let me go. Only turns out he'd already been given them all in exchange for us winning the 2015 election. Look, PM, I can't negotiate in good faith if I don't know all the facts. Anyway, long story short, I said something disparaging about the decor, and he sent me down to the seventh circle of hell... Past the people having their brains eaten, past the fornicators having their nuts cut off. Tell Boris it's not as fun as it looks. Past the river of fire and all that. So here I am. Right, here I go. Plunging into the seventh circle of hell. Oh, I'm back in my seat in Brussels at the Brexit negotiations. Result. This is just like the real thing, only I'm on fire, my balls are in a vice, and someone's drilling my head. Actually, it's exactly like the real thing. Brexit Bulldog, out!
Dead Ringers was performed by John Coshaw, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson, and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Park, Laura Major, Max Davis, Jack Bernhardt, with additional material by Vivian Riddock and Jane McCutcheon. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
And you can hear more from Dead Ringers next week. the digital station for comedy, drama, and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, time to make yourself comfy for a daytime chat show as we go back to 1996 for radio's answer to Richard and Judy.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue. Hello, welcome to the programme which answers your questions about families and relationships.
How would you cope if you found a copy of Men Only under your son's mattress?
How would you cope if you found a copy of What Caravan?
And what if you found a note saying, Dear Dad, help yourself, but they're not as good as the ones under your mattress?
In part two, we'll be meeting the widow of a man who donated his body to science.
Sadly, it was returned to her with a note saying, This isn't quite what we're looking for, but do keep sending them in.
Coming up later, we ask, why do health experts keep changing their minds?
But first, smoking. And new research suggests that it could be good for you. Here's our resident medical expert, Dr. Hoops.
Yes, Mike, the latest research shows that moderate smoking reduces the risk of lung cancer. And the former Class A drug heroin can actually lower your cholesterol. So from now on, heroin will be added to tap water instead of fluoride, which we now know is, of course, a deadly poison.
And apparently, kids, you should never, ever look left or right when crossing the road.
That's right, Mike. It's now believed to be safer just to run across whenever the ice cream van comes by. In fact, scientists have now admitted that the safest people of all are smokers who use heroin and crack and then run across the road without looking in order to shelter under a tree during a thunderstorm whilst having unprotected sex with a promiscuous stranger.
And now our first topic today is commitment. The difficulties and dilemmas facing couples who decide to spend the rest of their lives together. It's a sad fact that one in three marriages break up.
But one in two divorcees remarry.
And five out of seven of them remarry single people.
And two out of three remarried divorcees marry after divorcing single people. They remarry before divorcing single married divorcees.
But for some couples, it's not that simple.
The problem with commitment is that many people, having chosen to stay with one person forever, immediately start to fancy everyone else in the world.
This is because everyone else in the world is now forbidden to them. So the day after you move in with someone for life, the old lady who feeds the ducks suddenly seems to have a cheeky smile.